It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why the scorpion has a stinger tail. That's why it is. You've heard the other things. No, that's really... See, the other legends don't take into consideration all the political and economic ramifications going on at the time when Scorpion was first being consolidated into an entity.
That just seems so much more complicated.
Right? Occam's Razor is a guideline. It's not a rule.
Right.
Now I gotta order some supper.
Right now?
Yes. I'm ordering from Order Up. Have I told you about them? How you stalk the people? Because you place the order, and then it, like, shows you their face, and it's on GPS of where they are and shit. It's kind of freaky.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to, because it needs to get here by the time we're done, because I'm hungry.
Okay.
Do you not know how supper works?
I do know how supper works.
Well, see?
It's not going to take an hour to get here.
No, but it's going to take me a while to actually do it.
And
I haven't decided where I'm ordering from.
Should I draw something out of the hat?
No. We have to do a lot of things first. Hello, everyone. And welcome to the Magical Talking Hat, the only podcast in the world where you can listen to me ordering dinner. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 282.
And it's part two. Very exciting.
Are you going to tell your... you have to say how everything works, and then we can start talking, telling that story you didn't tell last time.
Yes.
I forgot to remind you to tell.
I blame you.
As always.
So, here's how this works. We have a hat. It's magical. And then it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves, call in to that address with little information, little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that, written in emails. And the hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. I'm going to get sushi, I think. Servants draw those note cards out of the hat, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show. And the last episode we did was like 10 minutes ago. So we're already kind of tired of you guys. Just from the beginning.
And what's your great story?
Oh, you're going to love this story.
All right, let's hear it.
And I don't actually mean that sarcastically for once.
Yeah, cool.
So, traditionally, the way it works in our house, on the weekends, I sleep until 11 o'clock. That's just my jam, because I'm up really late, and I sleep till 11 o'clock, and that's because I used to just sleep until I woke up, but Trish kept getting mad, and she wanted lunch, and so I had to set an alarm, so I set it for 11. So on Saturday, I wake up at 11.
You mean you'd sleep longer than that?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I wake up at 11, and then I sort of get dressed and wake up and things, and then we figure out what our errands have to be, and then we go to lunch, and we go do our errands. At minimum, we have to go to the grocery store every weekend, but, you know, sometimes we have to go pick up pet food at the pet place. Sometimes we gotta go pick up pool chemicals at the hardware store, or, you know, whatever things. We run our errands. We have weekly errands. We do them on Saturday. Sunday comes around, I wake up at 11. We don't have errands, but we still got to eat. And so Trish doesn't like going out. She doesn't like bothering to have to get dressed and stuff on Sunday. So pretty much universally, I go out and get lunch and bring it back.
Okay.
That's what happens pretty much every Sunday. Commonly, she likes Poncheros. She wants a Poncheros burrito. For those of you who don't live locally, Poncheros is a regional version of basically Chipotle. I think it was around before Chipotle, or at least before Chipotle went national. Its only real major distinction is fresh pressed tortillas. They take a dough ball on a pizza press and press it into a tortilla. And also way less food poisoning. But otherwise, it's basically Chipotle. So I go, she likes burritos. I'm not that into Poncheros, so frequently I'll get her a burrito, and then I go somewhere else. KFC's near there, Culver's near there, Burger King's on the way back, so I'll go someplace. So this last Sunday, same deal. I'm like, what do you want? She's like, I'm not sure. I'm like, how about a burrito? She's like, okay. Because she always likes a burrito. So if she gets indecisive, I'm like, you want a burrito? She says, yeah. So I go to Poncheros. Now, it's very tricky. Poncheros is very popular, but at, like, specific times, but I'm never quite sure. And so I'm always like, am I going to show up at a busy time or not a busy time? So I show up. It's not particularly a busy time. There's one guy ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, there were a couple before then, but there's, like, one guy who hasn't ordered yet. He is scruffy looking.
Like Han Solo scruffy looking?
No. Far more scruffy. Like, given the weather, I might have believed he was homeless. He didn't have a lot on him, but it was really hot, so it could have been stashed somewhere. He's wearing shorts and he's wearing like a beat up shirt. He's got a mustache and like a beard that's just a I haven't shaved beard. His hair's all crazy, and he's not really with the program.
Okay.
Here, so he goes up to the thing and he's like, you know, I want a chicken and beef burrito. I'm like, okay, which is pointless at that point because we haven't gotten to the meat yet. But so he does, and I just say a burrito to go. And they say, okay, so they're doing that. So I go to him. Now people start coming in behind us, so it's starting to get busy. So new people are showing up on the line to work. You know, more people who were doing other stuff, wash their hands, put on the gloves, all that jazz. And this girl is coming up to make his burrito. And you go down the line, like at Subway or something like that, you know. Do you want rice? Do you want beans? And he's like, chicken and beef. And he's like, no, rice. Do you want rice? He's like, oh, yeah, a little. And then we're like, what kind of beans? And he's like, And he's having a real hard time. There's only two kinds of beans. It's the same every time.
Yeah.
Pinto, black. He's having a real hard time, but he picks black. And then she's like, and you said you want chicken, right? And he said, yeah. So she puts two scoops of chicken on and starts going down. He says, no, also beef. Now I'm worried. Because they will give you two kinds of meat, but it's two scoops of meat. So she's putting on the steak now. They're going to charge him extra for that, I'm pretty sure. And they didn't say it. And like I said, he seems a little off. I'm worried it's going to be a thing. So I'm ready if shit goes down to, you know, use my judo powers or whatever. I don't know what I would do. But anyway, I'm anticipating there's going to be a problem when we get to the cash register.
Okay.
And then she says, usually, like, you want some queso or grilled veggies? And he's like, yeah, let's get some veggies. She's like, it is a dollar extra. He's like, okay. So she gets that. Then they go to the other thing where all the sauces and everything were. He gets everything. I mean, he doesn't say, give me everything, but he names them all. He ends up with everything,
okay,
including stuff that costs extra. And then she tells him on everything, so that's fine. But he's ordering a lot. By the time he gets up there and they, like, are wrapping it up, barely fits in the tortilla.
Mm-hmm.
Burritos are normally $6.75. His was $11-something. And he pays it. And mine comes over, which is like half the size. It was kind of funny to me, because mine had the stuff in it, but it was like a normal amount, so it was just like half the size. And he says, how much is his? And I'm like, oh, shit. And they clearly aren't thinking of this, and they just say, oh, it's $6.75. And he pulls out, he had paid with a 20, he pulls out his chain, and he sets down $7. And he looks at, and I said, thank you. And he says, you have a good day, brother. And I said, you too. And he left. And I said, well, let's see if we can turn this into a thing. Because by then there's a line behind me. I was like, how much is his? The guy behind me, who's just a young guy, I don't know anything really about him. And they were like $7.75. And one of the guys behind me was like, he got queso, so it was a dollar extra. And I'm like, I think I can handle it. And as I was walking away, I heard the guy behind me say, let's see how long we can make this go. And I was like, holy shit, I have heard of those before, but I have never been in one, let alone at the start of one, let alone from a guy who I completely misjudged based on his appearance, absolutely thought the worst, was awesome. It was awesome. You've heard those stories before, right? Sure, where I want to pay the person by. And sometimes people just do that for fun, but sometimes you get a thing going where it's like, oh, they paid for me, all right, I'll pay for them. And I'm like, it happened, and I helped.
That's pretty cool.
It was very neat. I was very happy with that.
That's a very good story.
And learned a very good lesson. I told you like it.
Yeah, I do like it.
See, normally I tell you that and I'm like, and surprise, porn! But no, this was real.
It's good.
Good story.
Thank you for that.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
So I got a bunch of games for my phone recently. Yeah. I had a bunch of games. Well, I mean, I got a bunch of games when I started, but it was a bunch of the popular ones and things in what are called freemium games. Which I feel like everybody knows at this point, but they're games that you can play for free, but you can get benefits by spending some money. And often one of the benefits is not having to look at ads. Mm-hmm. But it goes far deeper than that, because there's a science to freemium games that's being adapted very quickly, and they're built to be very addictive and very give a lot of rewards in the beginning and then leave you kind of stuck, where you're not going to be able to get the cool thing unless you spend really money. Or the really common tactic I've run into is, oh, you want to do this thing, you want to upgrade that thing, you want to buy this thing, fine, hit the thing, it's going to be 6 hours. Or you could spend 3 of your gems or whatever the currency is that costs real money to get. Mm-hmm. And we'll even give you some of that to start with. You could do that and it'll be done instantly. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, you're sitting there, it's like, oh, it's going to take me 5 days to get this, or I could spend 99 cents, or whatever, And some of them aren't quite that insidious, but there's a lot of that. Time is a factor. The lesser versions just have, lives, where, oh, you messed up that puzzle 4 times, now you have to wait until your lives renew, or you could spend money and get more lives now, that kind of thing. So I was playing some of those, but it's really tedious. They're designed, they tend to reward you for logging in every day. Mm-hmm. And so you got to make sure you do that. So I'm at the point, I'm sure a lot of people are there, in the morning I pull up my phone, I'm like, okay, I got to get my daily reward from this one. Mm-hmm. And I've run into this before on other devices. I'm like, there still exist things out there where it's just a thing you can buy and then it's a game you have and play. I'm like, I'm not worried about, why don't I do that?
Yeah.
And so this last weekend, I deleted all my freemium games except Cookie Cats, because Cookie Cats is an awesome game, even though it's a freemium game. I love that game. So I play that one all the time, so it's fine. But I bought a whole bunch, and I probably bought too many. But the one that I bought for $5 that I've really been enjoying and that I've been playing a ton, do you know what it is?
No.
It's called Let's Make Pottery.
Okay.
It is a game where you make pottery. Mm-hmm. That's it. Technically, there's a built-in thing where, I'm getting fake emails requesting commissions, and so then I learn how to do different styles and stuff. But the basic of the game is this. It's got a load here.
But you're going to show me?
I'm going to show you.
While our listeners...
See? Yeah, watch this. Well, you describe what you're seeing here, so I'm going to hit... Create. Mm-hmm. Don't ignore that. That's a commission I'm not working on right now.
All right. So yeah, there's a potter's wheel with a lump of clay on it, and as he touches the screen, it's reacting like a clay thing would on a potter's wheel.
Exactly.
But not exactly, because
no, because that would be weird on a phone, but. It is a virtual version of this, and I can make it however I want. Technically, I could change to a different clay. Let's change to this one. I kind of like this one. I had to buy a lot of these, but not with real money. But so I built a thing. I can build whatever I want, but you know, maybe I'll make the mouth a little narrower. The controls are pretty responsive, but sometimes it's a little tricky. So then I have it, and then we fire it. And it's currently being fired.
And you actually have to wait a little while.
Done.
And then what?
And here's the pot. Well, we do things like I can put in colors. So maybe we'll try and do sort of a sea green.
Okay, but so what happens when you're done with it?
Well, I'll show you. Put in some more, maybe mellow that a little bit. Let's put in some brushes. I got a lot of variety of interesting brushwork.
What about happy trees? Can you put happy trees? And
I don't think I have any good trees going yet. I probably could buy some later, but let's put in there. And I'll put a little in this great radio. All right, there. See, I like that. That's nice. So, ready? Yes. All right. Now, what I personally do is I take a screenshot now, so I've got a photo of it. I've got a lot of these. But it's done. That's what it looks like. So I could keep it in my collection, but that doesn't do anything. More commonly, what I do is I sell it.
You sell it?
It's fake, obviously, but it's going up for auction, see? And they're bidding on it.
Who's bidding on it?
I don't know. Fictitious people.
Based on what?
Whether they like it, whether they want to buy it. It's sold for 42. Now, I have coins, I can go shopping, and I get more colors and designs and stuff like that. Now, they didn't trick me. I knew at the time, like, I was paying for it over, and it said in-app purchases, and I'm like, what? But there weren't any. But then after, because what originally happened is I had a bunch of emails from fake people asking me to do certain ones, and it was sort of to introduce me to different styles and things, and now that only happens occasionally. But after I sort of finished that whole story mode, as it were, now there's places where I can buy premium things if I want to, but I'm not messing with that. But so I spend a lot of time just making pottery, and it's incredibly cathartic and relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And meditative. For me, it is. I mean, I'm sure it wouldn't be for everybody, but I love it.
Would it be that relaxing and cathartic if you were working with an actual piece of glass?
I'm sure, but there'd be a lot more involved. But see, look at all the ones I've been making, all the ones I took pictures of here. I've made tons of them.
And that's a lot.
And yeah, I just really like it, and it's a good, like, stress release and stuff. I've been really kind of surprised.
Someone needs to write a program where you can have the pieces you make sitting in various places in your house in augmented reality.
That would be pretty awesome.
Hold your camera up to your table over there, your pottery would be there.
That would be very cool. Especially, and you don't put any real decorations. People are like, wow, didn't you decorate? Yeah, check it out. Look at my phone. But yeah, I've been really enjoying that. Just recently, I got a game called Guild of Dungeoneering that's very cartoony, silly thing that I'm having a lot of fun with. I recommend that one as well. At least one of the games I got, I'm annoyed. I haven't really started playing it yet, but I've discovered it's one of those where paying stuff just gave me, like, a head start and stuff, but it's still basically a freemium game. And I'm like, god damn it. But yeah, so I've been getting onto those. I think that's all I got, so.
Okay.
Draw something, unless you got something to talk about.
I don't. I barely have anything just from a week, or 2 weeks, and now we just had 10 minutes, so.
Alright, I hope it's something you like talking about, because I'm trying to order some dinner here.
Craig.
Oh, Craig.
Craig says, I'm currently about 10 episodes behind.
Fuck you.
If this is still the case when you read this, should I just skip ahead?
No, fuck you. You should catch up.
Yep.
Listen to people. They are an hour. You can find time. And here's the thing. You only have to be faster than one a week. Like, I understand maybe you couldn't, you're behind two or three or whatever. You know what? You can do two or three in a week. Come on, people. If you really loved us. Just saying.
Okay, so I guess we'll just wait for you to order your food and then you'll draw one.
No, you should talk more about
I don't
what
anything,
he should do.
I don't,
this is, some people have done this. I despise the idea. And I don't mean for our listeners. I mean, in general, I would never do it. When I discover a new podcast, I go back to episode one and I listen all the way through. But I also see all movie series in order. I also read all the books in order. That's just an obsession that I have. How are you in that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. Although, when I first discovered the podcast Fat Man on Batman, I didn't listen to all of them because I could tell right away that some of them I just wasn't going
to
be interested in.
Fat Man on Batman. Before I stopped listening to Nerdist altogether, because I sort of stopped listening to podcasts, that was a thing I started to do was... I would look at them and be like, I think I want to listen to this. I think I want to, because I was always buying. They have tons of them. So it was tricky.
But yes, usually I like to start at the beginning and take it all in. But, I think most of our listeners are struggling to keep up or have skipped large swaths.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we do one every week.
Without fail.
And it's not... It's not like if you miss 10 of them, you're missing really anything. No, let's be honest.
Hey. No, it's mostly...
But...
Jokes, I guess.
On the other hand, you could be missing a really good one. Which we do have sometimes. We have a pretty decent show sometimes. And you never know which one that's going to be.
Kinda like, that's true. Some of them are really shitty.
Kind of like a restaurant you go to and your first experience is just blows your mind how good it is. But then for years after that, it's never quite as good. You just keep going back because you are so certain that one day it's going to be as good as it was the first time you went.
That's pretty much us, people.
Yep.
That's sad.
Except without the really great experience.
Yes.
At first.
Yes, nothing.
Pretty much always bad from the very beginning.
Nothing really happened.
No.
After that.
Right.
This is hard. Trying to
you know what? I could just draw another question.
No, give me the hat. I'll figure some shit out. You want to take two turns? You're a monster.
There wasn't a question that we could talk about.
Here's from Coffee. This one will give us some
there
juice, I'm
go.
Sure.
There we go. See, now we can talk for hours on it.
What do you do in life which sets you apart from other people? Yeah, see, I'll have plenty of time to order my food.
What are you talking about?
Everything you do sets you apart from other people.
No, I don't think that's true at all.
Alright.
I think you think that's true.
I do. Well, okay, then answer it. What do you do in life that Tony thinks you sets you apart from other people?
Like you just said, everything. What don't I do?
List them.
No, I'm not going to list them.
Alright, then answer the question.
I don't... what sets me apart? Yeah, honestly, I don't tend to think anything particularly sets me apart. I mean, you know, aside from the fact that I have a diet that everyone thinks is weird, but that's not everyone. There's a lot of people who...
But it's mostly just I guess you got some other weird shit going on, too. Yeah. But.
So, I mean, you know, of course I say that, but I also complain about how, you know, I'll go to a forum or to a particular place to meet people who have similar interests, and I can't find anybody because even if I talk to other anarchists, say, they've all got ideas about anarchy that just aren't the same as mine, which never bothers me, but it sure bothers them. I mean, so far my experience with anarchists isn't very good. They're pretty elitist, and they only want to talk to people who think exactly the way they do. And not just that, but they think anyone who doesn't think exactly the way they do is a total moron who, I mean, they'll say things in a forum like, you know, don't talk about things until you read a few books and you know what you're talking about, which
you don't read books
is, first of all, it's funny because they clearly don't know what they're talking about. But second of all, this is this is an opportunity for them to help other people know what they stand for, and they're not interested in that. They're not interested in helping people understand them, which I think is really weird. I would think that if someone feels like they have a perspective that is important and worth other people listening to, that they would be, that they would invite people who didn't know anything about it and encourage them to ask questions and talk about it and challenge them so that they could engage in a discussion. And if they're so smart, educate these people about these things. But I think it shows their, I think it just shows how actually uninformed they are. I mean, and that's why they're so critical of other people, because they feel so insecure about their own ignorance. And probably rightly so, because they seem to be pretty ignorant in spite of their insistence that they're not. But anyway, how did I get talking about that? Oh, I was just talking in general about how whenever I go to a lot of places and I don't find very many people that seem to be interested in talking to me about things, because I don't agree completely with everything they say. But again, I'm not sure that's that unusual. I think there are probably more people in the world than want to admit it who just don't fit into what's going on around them, but they want to fit in, so they pretend they agree with, you know, certain things, or that they like certain things, so that they don't stand out. I don't think they're probably that different than me at all.
I wear boxes on my head.
I suppose that means that the thing that makes me stand out is that, rather than agreeing with everybody around me, I just go ahead and I state or show my differences, or my the ways that I disagree, or the way I don't conform, and whereas everybody else either keeps that to themselves or they pretend that they do conform, and people end up hating me for it, I guess. Like you hate me.
That's not why I hate you, though.
Oh. But again, in general, I'm just reaching. I don't really have any answer to this question, because I don't think there's really anything that different about me as compared to other people. I really don't think so. I know you say that there is, but
You think your writing style is the same as most others?
No, but I'm sure I'm not original. I mean, someone somewhere has probably done it a ton better than me, and I just, you know, that's, you know, I've had a lot of ideas myself that I later found out somebody else thought of too and put it in a book or whatever.
Well, okay, I think there is a distinction between sets you apart from everyone else and are literally the only person ever to have done it. Because if we're going that route, yeah, I haven't got anything either.
Well, it doesn't, I don't think I've ever done anything. Does set you apart mean that you're unique from other people?
Yes, but it doesn't have to mean, well, it doesn't, no, it doesn't have to mean unique, unusual. The average person around you is not, when people see you do whatever it is, they're like, huh, that's weird, I don't know anybody who does that. It doesn't have to be, wow, no one has ever done that before. Oh,
but it's even by that standard, I can't think of anything, really.
Again, your writing style,
well,
apparently.
Okay, I've done a lot of things that other people haven't done. I mean, you know.
That could set you apart.
I've written 3 novels. They're self-published, but a lot of people haven't even done that.
No, I think that is a pretty big one.
I've written a lot of songs. I've performed in coffee houses. I've published a web comic.
I've done a podcast for 5.5 years. I think this podcast sets us apart from a lot of people.
Yeah, I've made films.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people haven't done one of those things.
Yeah.
And I've done all of them.
No, I think that is a good example.
I suppose that's an example of a way that something about me that, like you said, people would go, wow, that's unusual. You don't see that every day.
I think my weight sets me apart from a lot of others. You don't run into too many 400-pound people. They're out there, but they're out there coming.
That's actually true.
I don't know what sets me apart. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I can list things about me that not everybody has, but I still feel like they're not super uncommon. Like, I think I'm pretty funny. But, you know, there's funny people. There's lots of funny people. I saw a movie. Well, I've only seen half of it, I guess. Which is sad because it's only an hour long. That had Cato Kaelin in it.
Yeah.
What's weird is I feel like he was doing sort of a Robin Williams impression. It was very odd. Because he was being very sort of like goofy and silly and like one of those where he just keeps making little half jokes before anybody else can speak kind of thing. It was odd. But that whole movie was odd.
Do you feel like you have a kind of an outlook on life that's a little different than... I mean, it seems unique to me, your outlook.
Yeah. I don't know, part of my outlook on life is that I try not to... I feel like this is a very tricky thing. To acknowledge oneself as having an unusual outlook can be very close to bragging, in my opinion. Because it gets too close into that, I see things how they really are, or, you know, that kind of shit.
Well, you just have...
I don't know, when it's on paper, I don't ever think it's that unusual. But I'm not sure how I would describe my worldview entirely.
Now, see, that's the thing about me.
Okay, you tell me what my outlook is. I want to hear this.
Well, I've kind of talked about it before, where I think... I think you sense and appreciate in a way I think most people don't. In fact, most people are scared of this aspect of reality, I think. Like deathly scared of it. But I think you sense and appreciate the inherent meaninglessness of things. Like, you know, chaos, you appreciate and respect the meaning people bring to things, and the fact that the meaning is assigned to it by a person's opinions and wishes doesn't diminish that its importance. You know, like some people, they don't want to think that they're bringing meaning to something. They want to think God is, or that there's some
universal truth.
Yeah, some universal truth is doing. Because if that's not true, then they feel like that diminishes the importance of that meaning. But you don't think that. You're perfectly, if human beings are bringing a meaning to something because that's just how they feel about it, to you that's perfectly valid and acceptable and okay, and valuable. It might not be valuable to you personally, but
in theory, it's valuable to them.
Yeah, and you respect that and you're okay with that. But you don't perceive any inherent value to things, and on a deeper existential cosmic level, everything's just meaningless, and that's not threatening to you. In fact, it opens up a lot of possibilities. You're not constrained by a certain limiting perspective on what life means, and so it helps you live your life a kind of maybe in a freer way, and also to bring that sense of freedom to other people, even though they don't fully appreciate it or understand it, or maybe they're afraid of it. And that's kind of where your humor comes out and lightening people's day and you know, forcing people to look at things in a little bit different way, challenging the routine that people get into. I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of people who are funny, like you said. I mean, that by itself isn't a strange or unusual thing, but your humor comes, and this is true for a lot of people too, but I think your humor comes from even a more a deeper place even than most people, where it comes from a deep sense of the absurdity of everything. Not just the absurdity of relationships, like a lot of comedy does, or the absurdity of work, like a lot of comedy does. Yours comes from a sense of the absurdity, literally, of everything. And, I don't know, I think that's a little bit different. And I don't think everyone can notice it or appreciate it, but I notice it and I appreciate it a great deal. But that to me is unusual. I think maybe your wife probably notices it and appreciates it.
My wife don't appreciate nothing.
You know that's not true.
Trish and I are affectionate, and we're perfectly big on the I love yous and stuff. But, like, the serious, like, romantic protestations of love and big romantic gestures and stuff, it's not her kind of thing, per se. It's her family. Her family's not super demonstrative in that way. Mm-hmm. They're all very close and stuff, but they're not. My family will have an hour-long conversation about just how much I love you, kind of, you know, that kind of shit.
Yeah, my family's just like Trish's, really.
And I'd never question that she loves me, but every once in a while, something comes up. And in fact, I think there was one where she took some class where she had to write a letter to her future self, and she let me read it when she finally opened it later. And it had stuff about me that was very sweet. And every time that happens, I'm just like, oh. Because there's a whole extra sort of dimension to it. Like I said, I don't ever question that she loves me, but I'm like, oh, but there's... Now I know that, like, the same stuff is going on in her head that's going on in mine. I don't recall ever... Like, I did not know you felt that that was an outlook. I don't recall ever hearing that concept. I think I agree with it for the most part, and I think I like that. But at the same time, I think I agree with it, but I also think that this may be a useful tool for me going forward. I think you quantified something. Like, okay, I may agree that that is somewhat of my outlook, but more than that, even if it's not, I think I want that to be my outlook. So, I mean, I feel like what you just described is something I can use as a guiding principle in things. I now have to completely rewrite my novel.
Well, but see, I think I contrast to that in that I feel like my outlook is completely conventional, and not just by comparison. Even though when I go out into the world and I feel like everybody hates everything I have to say, I have a sense that on some level they agree with most of the things I have to say. They're just afraid to agree with it. They're afraid to do things with their lives that would have to follow from agreeing with it. And I'm not talking about like religious or political things. I'm talking about simple things like, you know, when I talk about how we're not these individuals, you know, that's an artificial construct. We're connected to each other intimately. We do have subjective experiences that are our own, and those are important, but we're also connected to other people. And this isn't just my opinion. This is really kind of the fact of human nature and human behavior. But the reason people don't like hearing it is because it means that that vulnerability that a lot of people feel in themselves, but they hate and they're always trying to hide, is something that they shouldn't do that with. That they're missing out on part of being human by quashing that vulnerability. And they don't want to hear about that vulnerability. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of the things that I talk about that are, you know, a lot of it's empirical. A lot of it's like science of human behaviors type stuff. People don't want to hear it because it challenges them to look at themselves in ways they're not prepared to think of themselves as vulnerable, or perhaps to look at their own racism or sexism that they might have been socialized with that they don't want to acknowledge, and things of that nature. But I think if you get past that stuff that they're dealing with, that they and I really share very similar outlooks. I think my perspective on the world is pretty pedestrian and average and not really interesting at all. If the only difference between me and these people is I was raised in an environment where I was encouraged to talk about these things and embrace them, even if they're uncomfortable for me, which many times they are. And they apparently weren't raised in that environment. Apparently they were raised in an environment where if you're uncomfortable with something, you hide it, you pretend it's not there. And if someone comes into your life who sees it and points it out, you hate that person because they're exposing something that you didn't want to have exposed. So, I mean, Like I said, my upbringing maybe makes me stand out is what I'm getting at, but nothing else really does. In every other way, I'm very average. I'm really like everybody else, very pedestrian. And I'm not an interesting person really at all. I'm not in the way that I perceive you to be interesting and have sort of a fascinating and unique outlook. Because, of course, my outlook is that everything is just full of meaning, although I have to admit that I also think that people bring that meaning. And I, like you, I also feel like that's good enough. I mean, it doesn't have to have some cosmic meaning for it to be valuable. But I also do think there's this cosmic meaning. I just don't think that it's necessary. Like if somehow someone could convince me, hey, William, there is no such thing as this cosmic meaning you believe in, I'd be like, okay. I mean, then I'd just become like you. And I would just appreciate the meaning that people give things, because I already do appreciate the meaning people give things, but I happen to have this faith in something larger that you don't have, and I think that just makes me like everybody else in a way.
No, what you just described is what makes you unusual. It's difficult to have both.
To have both what?
To have both a sense of the world as riddled with subjective meaning and defined by subjective meaning, while simultaneously believing in a higher cosmic plan to things, or cosmic purpose.
Well, I don't see why. I mean, one doesn't really exclude the other.
Because I didn't say they did. I just said it was very unusual.
Because the fact of the matter is, to believe there's cosmic meaning is just that. It's a belief. There's no proof for it. I mean, it's an opinion. It's a whim, really, that makes me conclude that. Nothing tells me that's true except myself. And so if it's not true, which it very well could be not true, and that's kind of what makes it a faith, is that it could not be true, but I believe it's true anyway. And you know, I think really that's true for anybody, because that's what believing in something means. But like you said, maybe most people just don't want to admit. You know what? I don't know. It's like people who... one of the problems I have with creationists, other than that they're trying to say something is science that isn't. That really bothers me.
That's the thing. I make a distinction between creationists and intelligent design people. And the intelligent design people annoy the shit out of me. What I consider creationists, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Well,
I think you're super wrong. Okay, but okay.
I am talking specifically about the people who insist that, well, this should be taught in schools because it's a scientific theory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it isn't that at all. And aside from just that fact, that they're factually wrong about that, I'm bothered because I feel like the motivation to assert that there's something even remotely scientific about this is so that it takes a little less faith for them to believe in it. Like, there's something proven about it. There's something scientific.
Well, and it's tied into, also, it is more likely to make other people believe in it as well, and somehow that gives it more validity.
That's the bigger point, though, see? Because I feel like the motivation there isn't just that it makes them feel more comfortable in their belief. The real motivation is they want to push their belief on other people. They want to have some ammunition to sort of force other people to see things the way they do. And so, you know, aside from the fact that you're taking something that's completely a subjective opinion and a belief, and you're trying to turn it into something that's not that, that's bad enough. But your motivation seems very clearly to be so that you can force other people to adopt your belief as if it's a fact. And I mean, I don't even know why people want to do that. What? I don't know what people get out of forcing other people to have the exact same opinions that they have. I mean, there's plenty of room in the world for everyone's opinions, isn't there?
Well, I think generally people consider other people having their same view to somehow be evidence in support of their view. Because people want to be right.
Yeah. How does more people agreeing with you prove that you're right?
the same way that Trident can have their slogan saying millions of teeth can't be wrong.
I mean, I want...
It's the same reason why if somebody finds out that somebody famous or highly educated shares the same view, they want to shout it from the rooftops. It's the same reason why every political cause wants to get their celebrities on board. And if you're a celebrity that happens to agree with somebody, they totally will bend over backwards to let you come and show your support for them and stuff, because people, it's the same damn reason people listen to the Kardashians. It's because people get in their head that enough people doing something, there must be something to it. Enough people thinking something, there must be something to it. I will admit, for a long time I didn't know what intelligent design was, and I had that, it worked on me, in that I was like, enough people are into this, there must be something to it. And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, no, never mind.
Well, I mean, this is another thing that goes back to my upbringing. I just had it hammered into my consciousness that the number of people who think something almost has no bearing at all on whether or not it's true or false. So I just don't...
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people operate... I don't even think I operate that way, sadly.
No, I do want... I look for other people who have a similar worldview as I do, but not so that I feel more right, but just so I have other people to talk to about that particular topic, because I'm interested in that topic and I don't know everything there is to know about it. And if I have other friends who are interested in it, maybe together we can learn more things about it. But I also actively search out people who I know don't agree with me so that I can challenge my way of thinking. Because what if I'm wrong? Because I'm interested in both types of people in my life. People who subscribe to a particular worldview so I can learn more about it with them, and people who disagree with that worldview so that I could have my worldview challenged and hopefully changed if I'm wrong. I mean, that seems like a good way for a person to live their life, to surround themselves with those types of people. But I don't feel like the more people I talk to who agree with something, the more right it is, because that's just not true. I mean, there's lots of people are wrong about, you know, in fact, a lot of times the exact opposite is true. The more there's a huge number of people who think something and it's exactly wrong. You know, there were a lot of people who agreed with Hitler and what he was doing. The more people that were added to the ranks of the Nazis, it didn't make him more right, you know? So, I don't know. Maybe that's another way I stand out from other people, is I'm probably more baffled by what people do than most people.
Oh, absolutely. Also, your self-deprecation is of a quality and quantity that make you stand out.
Oh, that can't be true. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Lots of people are self-deprecating.
Yeah, but you're just intensely, and also just very... straightforward. You will give long, detailed explanations of exactly why you are stupid, unfunny, of no importance, blah, 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 blah.
Well...
Like, you work really hard to express the argument. Most people are confident, if they really think they're shitty, of just being like, yeah, I'm pretty shitty. You want to explain it to me? I just suck. Most people are like, well, you see... people are like this, and I'm like this, and so then this happens, but of course, I'm not that, which is I should be, and I should try to do that, but I don't, and like...
Well, you know...
Like you are describing a literary character that you don't care for, and you know exactly how the author could have fixed it.
Well...
But they didn't, but in this case, it's you, so the author would be God, I guess.
In a funny way, I think I look at myself that way. I think of...
You're like, dude, God, I could have made a better William. I mean, come on. Notch here, it would have been fine.
I think I do look at my life as something I'm often...
What happens if nobody picks the order for order up? It's been 22 minutes and nobody has gone for it.
I think I do look at my life as something I'm authoring, and sometimes I'm authoring it okay. And most times, of course, I'm authoring it poorly, but I do think about it that way because I always want to author it better. Then I'm doing it, you know. That's kind of another thing that's been sort of drilled into my head, is that you just constantly need to be getting better at things, better at just being a decent person.
There's a difference between wanting to get better and thinking that you suck at something. There are things about me that I think I'm really good at or really strong about, and I still want to get better at them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you managed to... I've never heard you say anything positive or supportive about yourself, I don't think. That's staggering now that I say it out loud. Yeah, I think it's true. I don't think I've ever heard you say, I'm really good at this, or I do this well, or something like that.
That's not true. I mean, I've said on the podcast on a number of occasions that I think I'm reasonably good at X, Y, or Z, or that I...
Okay, then here's your moment. Tell me.
Well...
Remind me.
Like, a couple times on the podcast, I'm certain I've talked about how I'd go back and looked at the films that we made, and I thought they were pretty good. Especially
that's not the same. That's a group thing. You didn't just make those films.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Because you could still think you're just
there are times where I've said, hey, I went back and I read, like, Thresholds or Harbingers, and I thought, you know, this was actually better than I remember. That's happened.
So you think your novels are good?
I think they're readable. At least the second two. I'm not sure about the first one.
Yeah, that's not fulfilling what I'm talking about.
I like my... I think the webcomic was really good.
Hey!
I do. It's...
I would agree.
I won't... there are things I could say that are critical about it, but I won't, because I don't want to...
Well, and I'm not asking you for something that you think is perfect. You did it. You said it is really good.
Yeah, I thought it
was. And it was... By and large, all you, right? You may have had some assistance, some advice.
Yes, a little assistance.
But you would not have called it a team effort, per se, or something we made. You made it.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote it. I wrote all the scripts.
Okay,
shot
there we go.
The pictures.
Yeah. No, and again, I'm not having to say that, yeah, she had nothing to do with it, but I don't want you to cheat again like you did with the movie thing.
I don't think I'm cheating.
All right. No, okay, there we go. It's weird that that's what we landed on, but... I also agree with you. I think Stuck is a great webcomic.
I personally like the music that me and my friend Chris make. I mean, I don't know if I've ever had a bad thing to say about our music. I acknowledge that other people don't seem to like it, but I like it, so that's fine. I mean, I like it in a way that I can't say I've liked other things. But you know what? I like the films in a way I can't say that I've liked other things other than the webcomic, probably. I suppose
I'm about due to watch Inquire Within again. I haven't watched it in a while.
I suppose that, you know, you brought this up in a previous podcast about how it seems like I talk about negative things a lot when we get together, but the truth is I'm a very hopeful person, I'm a very optimistic person, and I'm not really all that down on myself or my work. It just so happens that when we meet to talk, that's the topic that comes up most of the time. I don't... and also in the last few years, everything in my life has been tinged with a little bit of depression, so I've been struggling with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think overall I've been an overall pessimistic or negative person, or even completely down on myself, but I've probably had more... episodes of depression in the last, you know, well, 5 years that we've been podcasting, than in the previous 40-some years combined. So that's a factor.
It is possible. I don't remember things well, but it is possible that was a little bit of the motivation also in starting this. That may have been a factor.
Well, and I think that in the last 5 years, a lot of times when we get together, I probably have at the top of my brain, like, if we weren't podcasting, I'd probably be talking to you about the things that are bothering me, you know. So I probably tended to be in a little bit darker frame of mind just showing up, because part of me wants to not podcast and just say, oh, Tony, this is what's happening, I'm really bothered by this. And that can't help but just sort of creep through and maybe present to you a more negative picture of the world and myself than I actually have.
But the ability for you to not actually be able to talk about it was also a major factor in setting up this podcast. I was like, now I don't have to listen to that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. See? Sure. Yep. Good thinking.
I don't remember what it was, but two sessions ago at gaming, we were on a bit. I mean, we were jokes were flying. We were all laughing, like people were, and I did something, killed it, like not in a good way. Like I've never had a joke not land so hard. Like I wish there had been a cricket in the room. People didn't even groan, just dead silence for like a good solid three count until I said, "Oh my god!" And I can't remember what the joke was, but I'm just like, that missed so hard. It made me think of it just now when I made my joke about how I did the podcast so I don't have to listen to drumming. You were like, yep. And we're just sitting here, and I'm like, oh, that's a depressing ending.
It's fine.
And it's also not true. We all know that.
But, no, I know.
But we should wrap up. So if you have things you like about William, go to the blog and tell us. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. If you don't have things you like about William, go to the blog and talk about all of the things you hate about him. I want to see how this plays out. The truth is there's going to be a whole bunch in both columns, all from Jazz. and then like us on Facebook, because why are you so proud? And then listen again next week, because we'll be back next week, because we're back every week. We don't miss a Thursday, people. We got powers. All right. I don't know. I'm hoping that the thing is just not updating. Because I'm not driving downtown to get this shit. And it was not cheap, so I'm going to have to go punch a sushi man.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.